Salutations to From Land to Sailor Sea. This is episode one, finally. And in this segment, we'll be talking about what are marine mammals and how to tell them apart, at least within their like groups. Marine mammals are mammals that depend on a marine ecosystem to live. And marine mammals can be categorized as aquatic, semi-aquatic, and even quasi-aquatic, though I'm not going to get into that today. Although they are typically classified by taxonomic groups, and this is more of what is commonly used to differentiate between the different marine mammals. And the four main different taxonomic groups for marine mammals are cetaceans, pinnipeds, sirenians, and marine fissipeds. Phew, okay, that was a lot of terms. So let's go back and give them all some context on how aquatic, semi-aquatic is related to the four main different taxonomic groups. All right, so let's start with cetaceans. Cetaceans include whales, dolphins, and porpoises. These are pretty, you can see the similarities there, right? Since these marine mammals don't leave their marine ecosystem, they are considered aquatic mammals or fully aquatic mammals. So what's the difference between a dolphin and a porpoise? Like, anyways, there's two really agreed upon distinctions, and that concerns the teeth and the rostrum. Both of them, both dolphins and porpoises, use their teeth to grab prey rather than simply using their teeth to chew, which is what we as humans tend to do. We use our teeth to chew food. Most notably, in terms of teeth distinctions, dolphins have conical or cone-shaped teeth, while porpoises have spade-shaped teeth. Another way to tell the difference between a dolphin and a porpoise are by the head of the animal. This is more scientifically known as the rostrum. In terms of dolphins and porpoises, this rostrum can be also referenced as a beak, or just look for the beak or no beak is how I usually look at it. And if you ever look at pictures of dolphins, you'll notice like their heads are really elongated, and dolphins have beaks. So their rostrum, or their head, or their beaks, will protrude out with a very prominent and elongated beak. Porpoises, on the other hand, don't have beaks, so they will have rostrums that are more flat when you're comparing that to a dolphin. There are a bunch of other distinctions, of course, but that you can use to identify dolphins and porpoises, but those tend to be a bit of a species-by-species basis, and have some exceptions to them. So the main ones I usually look for are teeth and beak or no beak. So things like differences in dorsal fins, body shape, and so on are a bit less accurate and more arguable depending on who you ask and also what region you're in. So within the Salish Sea, the most common marine mammals are harbor porpoises and even harbor seals, just because those two are local breeders and year-round residents in the Salish Sea. And actually, speaking of harbor seals, seals, sea lions, and walruses are pinnipeds, which is our second taxonomic group. Now, while pinnipeds depend on a marine ecosystem for their livelihood, they spend most of their time in the water, they still need to return to land to mate, breed, and molt, making them semi-aquatic. And I'll often find harbor seals around the FHL shorelines and sea lines, like frequently on the shore trail areas. Seals tend to be really everywhere. If you go rowing around Brown, you'll happen to stumble upon some. I've stumbled upon so many seals there. Sea lions are a bit harder to find in that area, which, you know, they're good. They're kind of big. And I usually find sea lions around the shore trails, or like around like the coastal trail region. So, you know, if you're ever going some marine mammal scouting, those are some good places to look for. And honestly, it's really cool to stand on the weather station platform and look for seals, because sometimes you might even get the occasional river otter, but that's not a marine mammal. Anyway, an obvious way to tell if a pinniped is, let's go with walruses. Walrus, because it's easier, is that walruses are one of the only pinnipeds with tusks, and they are the only living member of the Odonbenidae family. So, walruses, they kind of neat because they're the only living member in their family. And of all the pinnipeds, walruses are quite uncommon in the Salish Sea. So, you know, chances are low, but I guess they're also never zero. So you can always cling onto that random tidbit of hope. Anyway, at FHO, you will definitely encounter seals and sea lions, but how do you tell the difference? So sea lions are much larger than seals in general, and sea lions are also eared seals, which means that they have an external ear flap on the side of their head with a rotational pelvis. Sea lions are able to use their hind flippers to, you know, quote unquote, walk on land. Usually sea lions breathe super loud and it can be heard from a really far distance. And think of the breathing when someone finished sprinting a mile. That's what a sea lion sounds like. That, but louder. Yeah. And with sea lions, they have an external ear flaps. Seals don't have that external ear. Instead, they have holes on the sides of their head for hearing. Similar to an owl. I don't know if that's helpful, but owls also have ear holes for hearing. The external ear opening to the ear canal, it opens and closes when the seal dives, and owls have an ear flap that covers their ear holes. In addition to using ear holes for sound, harbor seals have whiskers called vibrissae, and each vibrissae moves independently, which is pretty cool because the vibrissae are very sensitive to movement and they detect the smallest vibrations, which is really useful underwater. And these signals help with navigation and finding food in the dark water and at night when vision is really limited. Okay, now we've talked about cetaceans and pinnipeds. There are sirenians, which is our third taxonomic group, 3 out of 4. And these are manatees and dugongs. Sirenians are also known as sea cows, which I think makes them cuter to me. But all sirenians are fully aquatic as they spend their life in the ocean and can inhabit marine habitats like swamps, rivers, estuaries, you know, like this Puget Sound, Salish Sea area, marine wetlands, and coastal marine waters. Except in the Salish Sea, there are no longer sirenians, but that doesn't mean we can't talk about how cool these herbivorous animals are. And their sirenians are actually really unique in that they've successfully adapted to cold climates and adapted to having a kelp diet. They're strictly herbaceous. What? They are strictly herbivorous, which is seen when scientists study their morphology of their teeth and their digestive systems. And yes, last but not least, marine fissipeds, which are a uniquely interesting group that refers to polar bears and sea otters. Notice I said sea otters and not river otters, because river otters are actually not a marine mammal. And actually, Canada doesn't even recognize polar bears as marine mammals, so there's some contention in the fissipeds taxonomic group. Anyway, for now, let's be inclusive and consider that polar bears are marine fissipeds and Pluto is a planet. While they spend most of their time on land, marine fissipeds rely on the sea as a food source. It's their hunting ground. And sea otters float on water thanks to the air pocketed in their thick fur. And as living buoys, that's how I think of them, sea otters are able to rest, mate, birth, and feed their offspring on the water. Polar bears have adapted the least to the aquatic lifestyle, but hey, they know how to swim, so that's what they got going on for them. And actually, it's because they've adapted to the least to an aquatic lifestyle that their population is really at risk from climate change because of the rapidly melting ice and ice floes especially. Polar bears need that ice to capture their prey. They sit near the breathing holes in ice and wait for seals to pop up. And while sea ice, without that sea ice, polar bears won't be able to catch seals and will likely disappear since global warming is making sea ice less and less available. So now you know your 4 taxonomic groups. You got your cetaceans, your pinnipeds, your sirenians, and your marine fissipeds. And with that in mind, let's curb our greenhouse gas emissions and keep thinking about our marine mammal friends. And I hope to see you soon. and look forward to making episode 2 of From Land to Sailor Sea. This is your host, Jonathan Kwong, signing off. Good luck, everyone.